I'm Kevin O'Coin.
And I'm Brian Ackley. This is Life in the Rough, the podcast.
Episode 20!
God damn, baby! Woo!
Wow! We got to a dub.
You've got to be kidding.
A dub.
20 episodes? God, people have been putting up with us for 5 months.
Wow. That's impressive. It's crazy. I can't imagine there's that many people putting up with us, but whoever is putting up with us and listening to this right now, we love you guys.
Well, I know
some from the bottom of my heart.
Yeah, absolutely. All the love is out there. Listen, I know that some people are. I've gotten some texts the past week. Tim Plunges, he had reached out to me, a buddy of mine from high school. He was like, dude, I love the last episode. I think what you guys are doing is awesome. You know, stuff like that. Guys, we love the feedback. It's great. Want to say thank you again for everyone that, you know, had purchased some merch. That is on the way. I apologize for the delay. Last week I had said that the ship date was expected 5/6. I'm not going to put our distributor on blast. But we had some merch issues.
Yeah. And I'm not happy about it.
No, I'm not either. So I'm not going to lie. And I hope.
Oh, put her on blast. Put her on blast.
Okay. All right. I was going to say, I hope this is not out of line. So guys, the problem with the merch order, I reached out. So the May 6th was the expected ship date. Okay. So I'm monitoring on May 6th. I'm looking out for an update for tracking information, because I know it's not going to just ship right overnight. And May 6th, I don't get any tracking information. May 7th, don't get any tracking information. Then, you know, I wait, you know, the weekend, I didn't really expect to get any, because, you know, normal business, probably working Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. So I reach out yesterday, and I contact customer service, and I was like, you know, I'm looking for an update on you know, my order. It's a pretty significant order. And they're like, oh, I'm sorry, you know, there's been a delay. It wasn't put into production because one of the shirts wasn't in stock.
One of the shirts. Of all the shirts and things that we ordered, one item.
All of them. And it was a long sleeve fleece. It is not even going to get immediate use, maybe. Although up in Albany, it could be cold. I don't know. Who knows? It could be a cold morning.
It's cold. I had sweatpants and a hoodie on yesterday.
Kev's fiance is the culprit of the item that was out of stock.
I'll post my address in the show notes. You can all send hate mail directly to us. Thank you.
Afterwards, I responded to the woman. I said, you know, I understand that this, maybe we're waiting on one item, but can the rest of the order be shipped? And she's like, no problem. We'll get that right out there for you. I get an email later that day, and it says, just complete this purchasing process and we'll get the order shipped out so you can have it by the end of the week. And it was a charge for $80 overnight shipping. And I was and she's like, all you have to do is put in your credit card information. I was like, I'm sorry. No. I made this order on April 26th. I reached out to you 2 weeks later asking for an update. You didn't provide me with an update. The last thing you provided me with that my merchandise was going to be shipped on May 6th. And on May 10th, I'm contacting you and you're telling me it's not even in production yet. And then you tell me that some of the merchandise isn't actually in stock. So you could have told me that when I was trying to check out. You expect me to pay $80 for overnight shipping for something that you did? Kev, I wasn't trying to be out of line. The words I did use, though, was absurd. I said, I think me having to pay this overnight fee is absurd. And I stated when I placed the order, how I had to reach out. And you know, I have yet to hear a response.
Right. Well, it's also just like the way it was handled. Cause like you were on the phone with them at first, right? Or were you emailing the whole time?
Yes. Yeah, so had to call and then was not able to get someone. So then went to the website, logged in, was talking to someone. They were not able to help me. They transferred me via chat to somebody else. And
oh, so you were chatting.
Yes. Chatting.
Okay. All right. So this is, okay, so you're talking to somebody personally, yeah, and you were making a complaint. Yes. And you're talking to a customer service representative.
Inquiry.
Okay. No, inquiry. But either way, the fact remains. You were talking to a customer service representative.
Yes.
You're a customer. They were providing you a service. And while speaking to you, they understood that you were frustrated. So they offered to make it right, essentially. And they're like, oh, I'm so sorry about that. Yeah, we can absolutely take care of that for you. And then they hang up the phone. It's no longer personal. And they're like, oh, yeah, we can take care of that for you for 80 bones. Come on.
No.
Why are you boning us?
Kev, needless to say, I was a bit frustrated with this.
It's bad business.
If Liz had reached back out and said, actually, yes, you do need to pay for this, I would say that let it wait. I'll just wait until the fleece comes in, ship it all together. Who cares? And you know, maybe we'll take our business elsewhere. I don't know what to tell you, but the experience I had wasn't great this time around.
Right.
And yeah. The material is fire, but you know, they just do the embroidery. Come on, we're getting the great quality. We might have to branch out. So once again, thank you everyone that reached out and was looking to grab some gear. Sorry for the delay, and we'll keep you updated as my dispute with customer service continues.
Hopefully we just have everything by next week.
Yeah, no.
I don't want this to be a saga. Yeah, I don't want this to be a segment on Life.
We're updating a special bonus episode on Saturday. Brian is banned from blank.com because he got into a verbal altercation with the customer service representative manager of the night shift unit after he tied one on. I don't want that to be the story. We're not going to have it be the story. We're just going to move on. So very briefly, last week, Wells Fargo Championship, Rory McIlroy, fucking Kid Gap back on top. Great win for him.
I love to see Rory back.
Me too. It didn't help my cousin Derm, who has Rory on his fantasy team because he didn't start him.
The Joel Damon effect.
Oh, the Joel Damon effect. Kevin, you were there. You understand how he feels.
So happy that somebody else did it. So happy.
Well, it happened to my cousin John too. He had tried to put somebody in, but the lineups had locked. And then I forget who it was. I forget who it was. But anyways, moving on. DeFusco came in first. Then he came in second. Fucking familiar names. Kevin, you actually came in last. And this is some bullshit, by the way. Because
Tell me about it.
What happened was I had one of my players. So the rule is you get paid out for last place, but you have to start a full lineup. So if you have guys on bye, you have to, you know, substitute people out, pick people up, make sacrifices, things like that. I had a full lineup, except fucking Webb Simpson withdraws with like some neck pain or something like that. Literally after the lineup's locked. So I started six people that were playing, but six people did not play in the tournament on my team. So although my team sucked and I would have came in last place because I didn't have six people playing in the tournament, Kevin ended up taking that accolade.
Right. But you would have came in last place with all those stats as they were. But if somebody would have played in your sixth slot, it may have been different. Because that's why you require six people to start, because all of their categories are auto zeros, so they're the lowest.
Kev, I was looking, bud. Your guys had beaten me pretty handily. Wasn't close. Yeah.
So you're just a bad manager. Okay.
Appreciate.
I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah. No. Appreciate that.
I will say I was happy to see Rory win. I did not see that coming. Like I should have. I mean, he won there twice before. I think right. Mm-hmm. Twice.
Yeah.
I guess you could have seen it coming, but I'm glad to see him win. Did you see the thing about Bryson?
Oh, yes, that was hilarious. So he thought he missed the cut, flies back home, realizes he doesn't, and flies back first thing. Like,
yeah,
what I don't understand is how he didn't get the memo sooner.
Well, also, it's like, if it's that close, like if you're like within two strokes of the cut line, you just like hang out for another 2 hours, like see what happens.
No, Bryson's got to get
right. Bryson, did you hear what happened though? He got home, found out about it. They were trying to fly back immediately, but they couldn't figure it out. So they're like, oh, we'll fly back late night, like early morning. I think they flew like 2:30 or whatever. He's like, so he went home, got a workout in. They like went out to eat. Then he went to bed at 8 o'clock at night, woke up and went and got on the plane and flew back.
Dude, he ends up final round shooting 4 under and he ends up with a top 10 finish. Guy didn't think he was going to make the cut and ends up with a top 10 finish. Also, dude, like someone who's on Durham's bench probably should have started him too.
Serious, dude, like people bag on Bryson, but like, I don't know, man. Like he's in every fucking headline. Like no matter, he always finds a way to be talked about every fucking weekend. And he's fucking good at golf.
Dude, I
feel like less and less people are going to be hating on Bryson.
Dude, Bryson James Aldrich DeChambeau is an American professional golfer. He's won 8 times on the PGA Tour, including 1 major championship, which was the 2020 U.S. Open. Guy's lovable. I mean, as an amateur, he became the fifth player in history to win both the NCAA Division I championship and the U.S. amateur in the same year. And the guy hits bombs.
He hits fucking bombs. Like, I'm not listen. I'm not saying I want to be kicking it on the couch watching football all day on Sunday with Bryson. Like, I don't think I'm going to be best friends with this kid.
No.
But like, I love watching him. Like, I don't know. I like watching the guy play golf. He's always a headline. He's always interesting to watch. I'm all in on Bryson.
Yeah, I mean, his parents are John and Jan. I mean, come on.
JJ.
John and Jan.
JJ DeChambeau.
Yeah, there it is. He's too jacked for me. He's too high energy. I don't. I think I'm high energy, but at 1 a.m. I'm like
no, Brian. Everyone thinks you're high energy.
Yes. All right. That's probably accurate. But I'm not out here like let's swing 95 times in a row. Hard swing speed. I'm just a little less tempo. But I love watching him swing. He hits bombs and it's great for the viewership. And
I'd love to see him just like rip driver on the range, like just like sit there in person with him and just watch him fucking pound balls.
It's gotta be a treat. Is Bryson going to the Travelers?
I think so. I wonder if we can get media passes.
Yes,
he's in.
Bryson DeChambeau commits to the 2021 Travelers Championship.
When is that?
Yeah. The 24th is a Thursday. It's the 24th. That's when it starts going through the 28th. Of June.
June,
so,
right? Okay.
Yeah. So Courtney and I are going to be leaving for Myrtle Beach. I'm going to do some hella golfing down there for the week.
Are you really?
Oh, yeah. I'm bringing my clubs. I'm playing at least 4 to 5 rounds. It's going to be awesome. Playing Ass Crack every morning, probably playing TPC Myrtle Beach. We'll get to it, but yeah, dude, it's going to be sick.
Damn.
So the Travelers is that weekend. So what I'm probably going to try to do is possibly take off Thursday. Take off a day before taking off 9 days of PTO. I'm sure my boss will be cool with it. Who cares? To try to go see him or get out there Wednesday for the practice round. If they do a pro-am, they're doing super limited fans, but I'm vaccinated, so they better fucking let me out there. I'm trying to see Bryson hit bombs.
Give him your
let
card. Him know.
I got content. He's liked some of my comments. He's responded to some of my comments. Bryson knows life in the rough, dude. We're out here.
Dude, you're like a pseudo celebrity, man. That's sick. Good for you.
Basically, I don't like
I've that. Never been to the Travelers. What do you think about that?
Dude, it's unbelievable. I was
I know. I don't know, but I know.
Yeah, I've got so many great memories there. I was there the year that Jordan Spieth won it, chipping out of the bunker.
That's sick.
Dude, it was dope. I wasn't actually there on Sunday, but Saturday we were there, greenside on 18, and he hit a birdie putt that was like 30, 40 feet long, and the crowd erupted the exact same way. The 18th hole at TPC River Highlands is just awesome.
It's stadium.
Yeah, dude, it's great. Everyone just sitting on the lawn there. But yeah, so that was the tournament. And I don't know how we got talking about Bryson, but he's a stud. Oh, yeah, because he fucking
his flight. Yeah, his flight.
Absolutely. So So I didn't get a lot of golfing in this past week. I'm not going to lie. I played 9 on Friday, and then Saturday cleaned out the garages. Sunday was Mother's Day. I just had a lot to do. Hit the range last night and did some practice around the green side and do some chipping, some putting. Felt great about it. But I do have a good amount of golf upcoming for the end of the week. So I'm going to get my rounds in. And I'm excited for it because I've had some good progress.
Progress. That's nice. I've made zero progress, but I did play.
When you shoot high, a ton of golf. It's not that hard to make progress when you know.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Progression. Progression's key.
Yes. Yeah.
I played. I only played Saturday, but I played 36 on Saturday, so I played more golf than you this weekend. That's for sure.
Okay, so you played 36 holes. So now do you know how many total holes that puts you at?
So 36 plus 144, which would be 180, I think.
Okay. All right. Then I'm 9 holes behind you. I'm at 171.
Is that right math? I don't know.
Well, 180.
Okay. That makes sense. So 180. And then I'll add up my doubles as I go. I played third. You want me to just tell you about, you want to talk about your round first? You want me to go first? What do you want to do?
Why don't you walk me through your first 18 and then we'll break it up. I'll tell you about my 9. You tell me about your second 18.
Perfect. So I, played 18 Saturday morning, 9 a.m. playing with the boys, Pat and Pat again, and we're at Town and Colony Golf Course. We tee off on the red 9. Usually when we play on the weekend mornings, you play the red 9, then you play the green 9. And then the other 2 9s are like their own 18 also. So like, yeah. But it's like hard to get out on the other two. So we just like, this is the 2 we play, but
yeah.
So start off, I'm hitting the ball pretty well other than my tee shot. So my tee shot on 1, it's a long par 5 that I've talked about. It's like hard dog leg left off the tee. So you have to hit like a big sweeping draw. So it's like a 3-shot hole anyway. So I elect to hit 3-iron and I top my 3-iron. It goes like 100 yards and like gets like, doesn't even make the fairway. I'm like 5 yards before the fairway in deep rough. So get there, get up to my ball and like hit a good hybrid, get up to like 130 yards and put my ball on the green. I didn't get on the green. I was pin high. I was in the bunker.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got up 2-putted for a bogey to start. Then I go par, par, bogey, playing pretty well. Like I'm hitting the ball pretty well. Then I get to a par 5, hit the middle of the fairway. It's the first time I've hit the fairway on this par 5 for whatever reason. Like I always miss the fairway here. And then I decide to go, I had like 190. So I'm like, oh, I'm going for it. Like pulled out 5-iron and I hit what I thought was a perfect shot. And it just caught the branches of the trees on like the right, that like leaning over the right side of the fairway. So it knocks it down to like exactly 100 yards. Or I'm sorry, exactly 80 yards. So I'm like, all right, no problem. Like 80 to 120 is like my sweet spot when I'm hitting it into a green. So I'm like, all right, feeling good. I skull the absolute shit out of my 60-degree wedge and just send it into the woods behind the green and end up making triple.
Oh!
Yeah. So then I go bogey on the next hole. Par, par, double on 9, shoot 44. So I was like I wasn't really hitting the ball that poorly. I was just hitting like a handful of just like total, just like bonehead shots that just like really like fucked my score over kind of thing. So I was pretty upset about it. But then I turn it around for the back 9. I birdied. So we didn't end up playing the green 9 because the white 9 was open again, which I mentioned last episode. It's my favorite 9. Birdie 1, bogey 2, par 3, bogey 4, and then I go par, par, bogey, par, par for 38 on the back. End up shooting 82.
Oh, Fuck yeah, dude. That's awesome.
Hell yeah. And like on the back nine, I knew I was like playing better than the front, but I didn't realize like how I was doing. But that's, dude, that's like what fucking birdies do though. Like you don't realize how much a birdie has an effect on your round when you don't get a lot of them. You know what I mean?
Dude, it's huge. Kev, while you bring that up, I've got to mention. So I heard this earlier this week, this guy in an interview, the difference between someone who shoots a 79 on average and someone who shoots a 95 on average, the person that shoots a 79 averages only one more birdie around than the person that shoots a 95. It's all about the bogeys and double bogeys and and double bogeys plus. Like it's all about compounding mistakes and errors. Like it's unbelievable. You're absolutely right. And
I bet the guy that shoots 79 averages like 1.1 birdies per round or something like ridiculous like that, where like the guy that's shooting 95 hardly averages like more than zero.
Just the occasional bogey. And then, you know, besides that, they're hitting fairways and, or regardless.
Right. It's crazy. Like when you start getting towards like better golf, it's like the minutia makes crazy differences in like how good you are compared to other. It's wild. But yeah, no. Yeah. Like you said, like just one birdie will make a huge difference. Two birdies in a, like, honestly, the fact in the IOI that I had a birdie and an eagle and shot fucking like 92 or whatever it was is like shocking. Because, like, you know, I was playing especially bad on all those other holes.
Right. It was just blow up. Right.
Right. But you played nine, what, Friday?
So I played nine Friday, and actually I was just adding it up. So remember it was horrible. I played a round at Tallwood and I had five double bogeys on the front nine. You remember this? And then we played the first four holes, ended up getting stopped by a couple sixums in jeans.
Oh, right.
And then played 17 and 18. So I'm actually at 177 holes total. So I'm not too far behind you. I've got 54 holes lined up though. So you better get on your giddy up here.
This weekend?
Yes. So I'm getting a little real greedy. All right. The Sunday is tentative, but I've already got 18 booked for Friday and Saturday. So Sunday is very optimistic, but I don't see a reason to see why I'm not going to be able to get out. The 50 doubles of bogey, that shit will be long gone by then. But so I did play, I was able to get out Friday afternoon. I met Dan and his buddy Mike out. I was able to play the back nine of Anderson Glen. And I mean, it wasn't bad. Like I didn't do anything too spectacular. I hit four fairways. I hit only two greens. I'll just go through it. I went bogey, double. That double is on a par five with a three putt after I hit the fairway. Shit like that just, you know, really sucks. I hit the fairway, I hit a three wood, not great. Then kind of left my third shot flat, short of a bunker, put my fourth one on, but then I three putted. So ended up with a, you know, three putt double bogey. So that's horrible.
I'm sorry. That was a par four or par five?
Par five.
Dude, par fives were my fucking nemesis. Honestly, in that round I just told you about, par fives were my nemesis. Like you look at par fives, like you want to score, you want to make par. I think, I don't even know if I made a single par on par fives.
Dude, and I think
they were like getting to me. I don't know why.
I think that's where some of the errors can, you know, compound. Cause I have the same problem. You know, if you're not great off the tee and you're trying to make up for it, or if you have a great shot off the tee and you're just trying to fucking get all into it and have a piss missile on your second one to put you in perfect shot or shape. And then, or if your third shot, you're in great shape and then you just fucking thin it. It, trust me, there's so many issues I have with golf in general, but yeah, that, specifically par fives. So I had a double there. So four over after three holes. Then the next hole was a par three. Dude, I shank my fucking tee shot. I hit a seven iron off the tee. Hosel it, shoots right. I ended up being like, and this is like a 160 yard shot. I ended up being like 65, 70 yards away. Like I'm just in some grass to the super right. Ended up putting it on the green, 2-putt for another bogey. Par the next hole.
Take that bogey though.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
Because you just had to play another par three after your tee shot.
Right. So the next hole was a par four. Horrible tee shot. I had trouble getting out, had trouble getting up. And same sort of thing. I triple bogeyed with a 3-putt. So not great. Not doing great. And then the last three holes, I went bogey, bogey, par. So I ended up 10 over with two doubles or more. I had a double and a triple, shooting a 46. Okay. Not great. Certainly had a lot of room for improvement, 2 3-putts. Both of them were doubles or worse.
And this was what, back nine of Anderson?
Yeah.
Blackledge, you said? Okay.
Yep. Playing the blues there. It's a great course.
Dude, that starting hole, depending on how you do on that first par five on the back nine, Anderson's the one that like the clubhouse is across the street. That's the one I'm talking about, right?
Well, Anderson has the main clubhouse. Gilead is across the street. The back nine of Anderson starts, there's like a
fountain. Oh, that par downhill par four tree on the left in front of the green.
Kind of dog leg
right,
left.
All right. Well, also that hole is like a all their nines, tough starting hole. If you fuck up on that first hole, I feel like it just like sets the pace for your entire round.
Dude,
because the second hole is an easy hole.
No, the next hole is super difficult. It's the number two handicap. It's
that long, just like straight uphill par four?
It's like 430 yards.
I forgot it's really long. Yeah.
But I think you just might be thinking of the other course, but no, dude, trust me, for me coming in, they had already played the front nine. For me coming in, you know, not loose, just ready to go, getting out of there with 46 with horrid putting and not making fairways. I'll take it. So I'm now at 46 double bogeys or worse.
Through how many holes?
177. But
all
I'm
right.
close. I'm.
You're on the you're on the precipice of the opposite of greatness.
Yeah. No, it's not great. I mean, I'm averaging a fucking double bogey every 3.8 holes. So it seems that I need to shape up on my next round to 18, or that's where I'm going to get it. Now, is it first to 50 or 51? Like first to break 50?
It's first to 50. Yeah.
First to 50. All right. So
yeah, whoever touches 5-0 first.
I've got with the least amount of holes.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to – yeah, I mean
– it probably won't matter. I understand what you're saying.
It would have to be very close for us to calculate that, but yeah, I agree.
Where are you at?
Well, I have another round to talk about.
Oh, yeah. All right, scratch that.
Which you're going to be excited to hear about this round.
Well, no, I don't want to hear about bad golf. I hope it's good golf. I'm 4 away.
Okay.
All
right, so let me paint the picture for you on my Saturday. So I played
beautiful round in the morning. Birds were chirping.
Yeah, great round in the morning. Started off poor. I shot the whatever it was 44 on the front, which I guess isn't really that bad, but it was just kind of frustrating because it was like bullshit. But anyway, I ended up with the 82, so I was happy about it. So Julia was working overnight on Saturday, so she had to leave for work at like 6 o'clock at night. So I was like, oh, all right. Instead of just like playing right away again, I'll go home. Like came home, had lunch, hung out for a bit. Took like 2 hours between rounds. So I went back at 3 p.m. I'm tired. I don't know. Like like when you're playing 36, like it always sounds like a good idea, but you know, it's not going to be a good idea.
Well, it can be, but I know what you mean, that it always sounds like a good idea. It never sounds like a bad idea. That is certainly a statement everyone would live by. It never sounds like a bad idea. But yeah, after the first 18, you've got to work in lunch. And then if you walk, especially because we're walkers, Kev, I think people that ride don't care as much because they don't put fucking 9 miles onto the 7 miles onto the fucking treads before they're grabbing their BLT at the fucking turn with pasta salad.
Right. Exactly. Very good point. So I actually texted you. I was like, oh, I'm about to go play my second 18. This is probably not a good idea or something along those lines. I forget exactly what I said, but I'm not going to go search for it right now because it's not that important. So anyway, I get there and I go open up the trunk, pull out my bag, grab my push cart. And as I pull my push cart out, one side of the handle just snaps off and disconnects from the leg that like basically like where the handle connects to like the part that connects to the wheel. That's what snapped. So I like, it's like not operable. Oh. So now I'm like, all right, well, fuck this. I knew it wasn't going to be a good 18 anyway. This just happened. What the fuck's happening? All right. I guess I'm riding. If you play this, if I play again on the same day, it's only $13 anyway. So with a cart, it was 23 to ride 18. I paid less for my rounds to ride 18 in the afternoon than I did to walk 18 in the morning.
All right. So based on the greens fees alone on the replay, you need to fucking play 36 all the time.
I've already done it twice this year.
Yeah.
It's great. Well, that's why I do
the second time.
Well, this is the first time I've done that. I prefer to walk anyway, but.
Well, I do too. But if you're going to tell me that it only costs $23 for me to play another 18 and ride.
Right.
After walking 18.
Right. And the guy said to me too, he was like he gave me like, so they give you like a ticket to get the
business. He's a regular there?
The guy that works there.
Yeah.
When I was paying. Yeah, great guy.
What's Jim, his name?
I think his name's Jim.
Jim.
It could be Jim. I could be way off on that. Anyway, so they give you like this ticket to give the starter and there's like front nine, back nine. He just gave me one that said nine. I was like, oh, I was going to play 18. He's like, play as much as you want.
What do you mean a ticket? Like not a receipt? Like they're just giving you raffle ticket? Like what is this ticket?
Yeah, because they have the credit card receipt, but like you pay for nine or you pay for 18. They just give you like a thing that says like front nine, back nine.
Like a hall pass in high school.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, remember like back in the day when you used to get bag tags? Like when you paid to, you had to tie it onto your bag so they knew you didn't sneak out there? Wow. Dude, when's the last time you saw that?
So I have seen that. I don't really ever recall like, attack.
Hey, well, not everybody's family owned a golf course, Brian.
Well, that's where I guess I was going to go with that. All right. But moving on from that, so I don't sound like a fucking asshole. Yeah, no, I was either sneaking on or playing for free.
Right. So you never had the bag tag, obviously. No. Anyway, all right. So where's
your tag? It fell off. Easiest thing on earth. You got to get a better system.
All right. So anyway, I show up at the place. I have to ride. I go pay to ride. $23, whatever. They send me out on the same nine I started on in the morning. I hit like I would play from the blues nine? This time. Huh?
Same nine?
Yeah, just because there was people that had teed off recently and they were like, you're going to be the best off going that way. So I was like, all right. Well, I don't care.
Yep.
So I played from the blues this time instead of the whites. So on one, I hit driver and I like popped it up. So I was way short. And then like a bunch of shit happened, whatever. Make bogey. I'm like, I got away with bogey.
Not too much shit happened if you ended up with a bogey.
No, it was like it was a weird ass bogey. Like I like hit a pop up drive. It was short. Hooked by my like layup, so I was in trees. Punched out, but hit like the last tree before it got to the fairway essentially. So it kicked back, and then I had to hit like another punch shot, and then had to get up and down. It was like a weird bogey, but like I made bogey, whatever.
Well, when you're in the shit on a par five, it can seem like you're like, yo, I feel like I've hit this fucking ball so many fucking times. Like
right.
six times, right. that could feel like a lot. I get it.
Right. And so also like I'm flustered, I'm fucking tired because like when you like walk 18 and then you go home and like sit on the couch for 2 hours, like you're fucking gassed. So then if you get up to go play another 18, like it's not a good recipe. And then I don't have my push cart, so I can't get loose. And then to top it off, Bri.
Oh, tell me, Kev.
cart path only.
Oh, the worst.
So I'm like, I'm out of my element. Like, I have to like grab like three clubs every time I go to my ball, bring my rangefinder, try to shoot. Like, I'm like trying to like kind of like go somewhat quick, whatever. I get to two and I'm on the tee box of two. There's a foursome in front of me already in the fairway.
Oh no.
And this is like my least favorite tee shot. Like, of all 36 holes on this course, this is my fucking nemesis, this tee shot. I like, I shouldn't hit, if I hit a good driver, I like shoot over a dog leg, like over trees, and like it'll be great. Otherwise, like I hook it OB. Even if I hit hybrid, I can go. It's like I never know what to hit or whatever. So I'm sitting on this tee box, like I'm hoping they don't let me play through. And then they're in the fairway and wave me up. So I'm like, ah, fuck.
Oh, boy.
I'm like, not a single ball that I've hit since I teed off on one has been like, I'm like, oh, that felt good. Like, that was good. Like, everything like doesn't feel right. Oh,
so the confidence there.
Right.
Oh, champ, yeah. I feel good. Come on, step up, champ. Let's see it.
Yeah. So I have driver out and I go to drive it over the tree because that's exactly what I did earlier in the day. Or not exactly what I did, but it's kind of like what I did earlier in the day.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, let's do that again. And I fucking take a divot with my driver.
Oh, no.
And pop up my ball and it goes in the pond to the right of the, like, the pond's not even in fucking play. Like, I hit it was just terrible. Like, I'm just like not feeling myself, whatever, drop, get up there. End up making.
Do you think some of it was the wave through jitters? Do you think any of it was the play through jitters?
I think it was a combination of the wave through jitters, and just being like tired, second 18, and like I never got like I still wasn't like loose again.
Kid needs to hit a bucket of balls. You've heard it in previous episodes, guys. Right. He needs a bucket of balls.
It was just I was standing over the ball and I was like, I have no fucking clue where this thing is going to end up.
Kid can play 18 holes and still not be loose.
Right, exactly. I'm going to need both your hands really quick. So just, you can count these off. So two, end up making double, three, triple, or I'm sorry, double, four, double, five, double, six, double, seven, par.
Ah.
Eight, double, nine, bogey for a 50 on the front.
Six doubles on the front?
Yeah.
Dude, I think pretty sure five was my worst and I wanted to kill myself.
Yeah. Oh, this was, I was thinking about this while it was happening. I was like, this is the worst nine holes that we've had on the podcast.
Okay. Suicide.
No, five was your worst. You did it at Tallwood on the front.
Yeah.
Trust me. I remember everything you said.
Before my jeans situation.
Right. There you go. So yeah, needless to say, I was like, oh, maybe I should just play nine. But you know what? No, I'm playing 18. I went to play 18. I said I'm playing 36.
Birdies. He had birdies in the bag. He knew it.
Well, also the other thing is too, like I've been saying all year, I've been having like the bad start issue, and my bad start's always on this same fucking nine too, because it's like the first four holes, five holes, like just like fuck with me. Like it's like it's mental now.
Dude, I was gonna say, dude, do you think that some of it's just mental? Like maybe next time you go there, like don't look at the fairway and say like, yo, I just swing the club, I know I've got to hit this one straight, and then play it out.
Oh, like, yeah, that's exactly what that's exactly why I went to hit three iron on one in the morning round and then fucking duffed it 100 yards. So I also just suck too. So it's mostly mental, but I'm physically terrible at golf. Anyway, I make the turn and go to the back nine where I go bogey, bogey to start on 10 and 11. And I was like happy about it. I was like, oh, sick.
Not done.
Then I get to the par 312 triple. So I'm like, all right, well, now I just suck at golf. But at this point, I'm also like, all right, this isn't even going to count. Like, it's not even going to count towards my handicap anyway. So like, why the fuck do you care, Kev? Just relax. Which I thought was going to help me play better.
Yeah. What happened with the triple? Cause we all get how doubles can happen. You know, you have trouble getting on the green, then you maybe three putt or you're getting on the green late and you two putt.
So the triple is it's like slightly downhill par three. It's like elevated tee box. It's all just like wasteland between. It's similar to the par three on Gilead on the back nine. I think it's 6:15 maybe. Like, you know, it's just like all like just bullshit between the tee box and the green. Like, you just have to get it onto the green kind of thing. That's basically what I'm trying to say. Anyway, I thought I hit a great shot, and apparently I just didn't have enough club and I went into the bullshit. So I had to drop in the drop area and then sculled my chip over the green and then had to get whatever it ended up being at that point. So it was just a mess. It was a mess. Thanks for asking. I appreciate you talking about my triples. Yeah, thank you. I didn't ask about your triple, motherfucker.
I brought it up voluntarily. I'll let you know. I had problems. Yeah. I three putted. I mean, a lot of my issues can revolve around three putts.
Oh, yeah.
Besides drops.
Most of my issues revolve around the golf course.
Yes.
Just in general.
All of them do. Actually, I will say with drops, Kev, since we purchased the Vice Life in the Rough golf balls, I've only lost five of them. I still have six balls. Billy DeBacco, bachelor wedding next weekend. Fan of the podcast. Shout out, Billy. Can't wait for next Saturday. He lost one in Clearwater Beach. I don't blame you, buddy. I just, you know, I asked you not to hit it in the water. So I've only lost five balls out of the first dozen of five dozen that we bought. So I'm feeling great about it. Dude,
that's pretty sick. I actually just cracked into the second dozen because this round, the second round on Saturday, I think I lost like four balls.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. There are a couple. There's probably about two of them. Love it. There's probably two of them that half of the logos ripped off, and I'm probably going to not play them anymore and bring them into the putting mat inside and use them that way. But it's... Well, Kev, also, when you don't hit it too far off the tee, you don't tend to lose a lot of balls, you know? You know, I'm a little guy off the tee.
That's fair. I lost multiple balls in the second round on Saturday. Just like, it was like, I don't know why I can't find my ball right now, but I'm too tired to like even worry about looking for it. I'm just going to take a drop kind of thing. Yeah. So I was like that frustrated. Uh-huh. But anyway, so I go bogey, bogey through 10, 11, then 12, triple bogey. And then I go... bogey, 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 double for 48 and end up shooting 98 on Saturday afternoon.
A 98? What? Hold on. So that was probably only a 94 towards your handicap?
I only had one triple.
Oh.
And it was on a hole that I was stroking anyway against the course. So it would be a net double. Or it would still be a net double as a triple.
Dang.
Yeah.
So,
but it doesn't count. It was just such a bad score that it doesn't even count towards my handicap. Which also, I was looking at my handicap and like my next few scores will like knock a few out, and they're some of my worst scores in my handicap. Yeah. So like if I play like well, I could like probably drop my handicap a good amount. But
going down, 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 down.
I'm back in. I'm 10-2 now. No longer single digits, but I wasn't expecting that to be like a thing that was going to stay around all year.
Bro, it's only early May. We've got so much time. We're working off last year's numbers still. We're working out the kinks of bad weather, shitty lies, bad grass. There's a lot to look forward to.
Yeah. Here. It is crazy. Like, it's still really early in the year, and I feel like we've both been playing like a lot. I mean, I guess we obviously have a golf podcast now, so like,
well, come on.
It's an easy excuse, but I got to play.
This ain't a hobby, Kev.
This ain't a hobby, fellas. Dude, did you see that? That was hilarious. I'm like, I have to hang out with Kiz now.
Well, yeah, we needed him on the podcast. Kiz would definitely slam some beers. Love to play with him. Kev, we got business to do. We need content to produce. We got to get out there. Do what we can do.
I'm fucking saying, dude. Yeah. It's
So
man, you're 20. There's still what?
No. So I just wanted to get a quick count. How many bogeys behind are you from me? I'm at 40.
So let me calculate it right now. So I went 8. So that's adds 10. So I'm at 40, I think, total.
Okay.
Yep. I'm at 40. But I also had a birdie. So I'm at 7 birdies.
All right. I think I'm at 2. Maybe 3. I don't know. It's not a lot. We're probably going to need to adjust the birdie ratio at some point.
We may
need to figure out something. We'll figure it out at some point. If halfway through the season, things don't start to click. Cause Kev, I will say a big thing is, listen, I may say that I don't hit a lot of greens, but that still will leave you maybe 5 or 6 birdie putts around. And with some of the places I'm playing, I don't know how the conditions are at the course, cause you're pretty much playing the same course. I'm getting aerated greens left and right at different places that I'm going.
Oh, really?
Some are great.
I haven't seen any aeration yet.
Yeah. I mean, I've played at Blackledge, Tallwood, Portland, Shenicosset. All of them seem to have had different sort of situations, and Blackledge having Anderson Glen and Gilead. So I've definitely had some tough greens to work with, but I feel like towards the middle of the summer, the greens are going to be smooth for us. We're going to hit a lot more putts. And the birdies are going to start to roll. I'm not saying we're going to be hitting in 3 or 4 around, but it won't be out of character for us to say, yo, I had 3 today. I'm not saying it'll be every day, but
once we start
to grow in, it'll be much better.
The round I shot 82 this weekend, I made 1 birdie and I had 3 birdie putts lip out. I had multiple good opportunities at birdie
that's awesome. Kev,
didn't drop.
Dude, and I'll tell you, I only had 2 double bogeys in that 9 I played at Blackledge. I had 4 putts over 6 feet that were bogey putts.
Oh,
bro.
Buddy,
bro,
you gotta get there. Gotta get there sooner.
I know it. No,
this is the opposite problem you had last week. What's happening?
I know. But I felt confidence after hitting each one of those putts going into the next hole. Like, all right, let's do it. I'm not saying I want to leave my putt 6 feet short, but like,
dude, it's weird.
All right, you got this. Trail it.
Dude, it's weird that you're saying that though, because I'm almost having the same experience. Like earlier in the year, I was like striking the ball very well and I wasn't chipping and putting well. But I feel like the last couple of weeks I've been like not getting there quickly, but like when I get to the green, I can get the ball in the hole kind of thing.
Yeah.
No, it's weird how golf works like that though.
Right. Well, we both were doing the up and down challenge, you know, from off the green, chipping on.
Oh, yeah.
Go up and down, chipping on 1 putt from there. And then both, you know, integrating some of those putting tools that you shared with me that Jordan Spieth does. Like, dude, it's just such a great way to work on the little aspects of your game.
Yeah. And I think it gets like your putting stroke a little bit more consistent. But it's also like when I found that article, I was like, oh, that's great. Like I've never had when I go and practice putting, I feel like I'm just like going up putting there. Like I'll put the ball in random places and try to get the thing close, but I'm never like doing specific things or like thinking about what I'm doing. So it's nice to just be like, oh, like I'm going to go to the putting green for 45 minutes. And like, this is what I'm going to do. You know what I mean? And then it gives you a bunch of these different types of putts that you have to hit. And like, you just like get into more of a routine. So like when you do that on the course, you're more familiar with it kind of thing, you know?
Oh dude, I completely agree. And at first I'll be the first to say for any of our listeners that like, don't really go to a golf course and use their practice facilities, whether you feel nervous about it or you're not interested in doing it or whatever it is. Let me tell you, I definitely felt weird about it the first couple times that I went there. Like you feel like, oh, am I doing something wrong? Am I in someone's way? But honestly, like everyone's there for the same reason. Everyone's just trying to get a little bit better. No one owns the green. No one owns the practice facility. Obviously the course does, but like nobody's like, yo, this is my area, you can't practice here. So like, you know, everyone's there to get better. So there's no issue looking at a hole,
right?
Looking at people around you, look at where they're putting, and go to one that they're not putting on. Like I wouldn't recommend putting at the same hole someone else is putting at. If there are super limited options, then it is what it is, and that's what you have to do. I've also been on putting greens where there weren't options like that, so I just put a tee down somewhere. I was, you know, towards the end of, and you just putt towards the tee. If you can't get an area and you don't want to be like in other people's way, there's other ways to go around it. So I love the satisfaction you get out of practice at the end of it. I took some video last night And I was able to get up and down really well. And I was able to hit some putts really well. I had some many three putts that were long distance, and I need to work on that. But my short range putting, I was getting a lot better at from the 10-foot distance. So I'm pumped about that. And the only way you're going to get better is to practice. So
yeah, dude, I absolutely agree. And the thing with doing like chipping and putting too, especially chipping, in my opinion, is there's a lot more like types of like chip shots that you might have to hit than any other shot in your bag.
Oh yeah.
In my opinion. So like you can like, there's so many like different things that you can work on that makes it just like really difficult. I don't know. Like, I'm trying to, like, there's like one specific, like kind of like chip shot that I've been working on a lot this year. And it's like really hard to get down. But like when I hit a good one, I'm like, oh, that felt fucking sick.
What kind of, you know, is it a low punch? What are we talking about here?
Like, so like if I'm in short grass around the green and I want to hit like a long flying shot that just kind of like bounces once and stops.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been trying to work like on that a lot. There? I use my 60.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you keep it low with a 60?
I guess I'm not really so much saying low, but I just want it to like basically fly to where I want it to stay and just like not like roll out.
You may have said long and not low. I may have.
I could have said low by accident. Yeah. But just like a high spinning chip shot, which basically like, it's kind of like tough to explain, but like you open up the face, but you also like do like some forward shaft lean and just like, I was listening to like another podcast and some guy was kind of explaining how to hit it. So I've been kind of doing that. And like, at first it was really tough, but I'm starting to get it a little bit more. But like shots like that, like when you fuck those up, like it's not the difference between like a couple of feet. It's like you either hit that good shot or you fucking blade it across the green or you duff it 3 feet. You know what I mean? And then like you have to hit the same shot again.
Dude.
So yeah. That's why I think practicing those shots is so rewarding.
Oh, I agree with you. And like, using like YouTube or, you know, other outlets for, you know, suggestions and tips on swings is amazing. Like that's how I learned how to hit out of a bunker. Like I watched this video one day and this guy was just like, listen, just don't put the club right behind the ball, cause then you're going to set up going forward, set the club like an inch or two behind about 2 inches behind the ball and try to hit an inch behind the ball and just keep going forward. Don't worry about it. Obviously, this is green side, right? Because we're just talking about getting out. Depending on how far you need to go, is depending on how hard you need to hit it. But if you're just talking about just getting out of a bunker, like that is the simplest advice ever. Don't put the club right behind the ball, hit right before the ball, and continue swinging. The ball will get out of the bunker. And once I started doing that, I was like, wow, this is so easy. So many times you just slam into the bunker and the ball just goes into the face. And you're like, what am I doing wrong? Well, you're not hitting the ball like you're not doing it right.
Right. Dude, it's crazy how it works like that too. Because you can get like the same piece of advice from four different people, but they might all word it in a different way or explain it in a different way. Mm-hmm. And one of them will make sense to you. Like, right. I remember like I've taken two lessons from the same guy and
he still has credits, right? You have some credits with
this. Yeah, I still have two more lessons to take this year, actually. So I'm excited about that.
You think he's going to expire those credits?
I already talked to him about it. He said, yeah, they're still good.
Can follow up on that. That's good.
Yeah, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, he's a cool dude. One of my buddies is like friends with him and recommended him to me. He's a good dude. But he was explaining the same thing to me and he explained it to me three different ways. Cause he was like, yeah, like some people understand it like this way. Some people, I say it this way, it makes more sense. But like, it is interesting how like golf is obviously very physical, but like from a mental perspective for you to like understand what somebody's saying to you or to like use what they say to you to like put into practice. It's like, it has to be said a certain way or you have to think about it a certain way. You know what I mean?
Right. It needs to make sense to the person doing it. So
A
professional could say you're keeping your hips closed on your follow through or on your backswing, and you'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about. And they say, I need you to turn your belt buckle more towards the background. That would that or you know, just an example of something. You can't just be all about dimensions and like specifics with golf terminology. You have to dumb it down for people and make it relatable.
Right. It has to be something that like when you're like, if you like, you need to have like one or two things that you're thinking about while you're actually swinging. So if it's something that you can like do while you're swinging, like I feel like it just connects for people a lot better. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's fucking golf's a trip, man.
Dude, it's wild. All right, guys. Well, appreciate the time. We look forward to getting after it next week. This is Brian Ackley.
Kevin O'Coin.
Life in the Rough, the podcast. Woo! Woo!